For some among us, this Thanksgiving included some extra special reasons to feel grateful. Linda's daughter, for example, has not only recovered from a distressing medical condition and a complicated surgery, she also this year passed the bar exam on her very first try. Naturally, everybody concerned is relieved and thrilled. Tracy and Ian, after months of interviews, negotiations, and paperwork, are returning even now from Russia with their officially adopted son, Joey, and daughter, Katya. Their extended family is rejoicing and waiting with open arms. When years of hard work, years of planning and prayer, years of endurance and clinging to hope and life through many trials finally result in dreams coming true, our thanksgiving is sincere and profound. When events and circumstances come together in a way that support our goals and our growth and our future aspirations, gratitude rises within us for what can feel like miracles in process. The words that are printed on the front of our bulletins this morning were spoken by a man for whom an amazing series of events, which included an angelic vision, the losing of his voice, the physical impossibility, it seemed, of his wife's pregnancy when she was clearly way too old, had finally resulted in the birth of a longed-for son. Once Zechariah, against all tradition, but according to instruction, named his son John, praise of God began to pour out of his mouth. The words he spoke are recorded in Luke chapter 1, and we can see in those words that Zechariah has actually been blessed to perceive that things have not only come together for good in an astonishing way for his family, but also for his people, and maybe even for all the world. God has raised up a mighty Savior for us, he declares, and you, my child, will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation to all God's people. Zechariah sees God at work, bringing not just a baby, but light and peace to a world that longs to be free of the shadow of death. Most of us have a pretty good idea of what we're personally waiting for, what it would look like for things to come together in a good way for us. We'd get a job at which we could do well and which would allow us to pay our bills. Our friends and our loved ones, or we ourselves, would be healed from cancer or from addiction or from other diseases. Our children would successfully make the transition from youth to adulthood. We would be able to live in a community, in a place that's healthy and safe and friendly and productive. With today's scripture readings, we are encouraged to remember that God also has a vision for our future, a vision that includes us, a vision that encompasses all of God's people. When everything comes together for the world in the way that God has in mind, it's going to look like this, according to Isaiah chapter 65, verses 19 through 25. I will rejoice in Jerusalem, rejoice in my city, says God. I will delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be an infant that lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 will be considered a youth. One who falls short of 100 years will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord, and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. But the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. God's desire is that people would live long and healthy lives, that our work would be rewarded and enjoyed, not stolen or destroyed by others, that our children would know peace and security, not disaster, that neither creatures nor people would harm one another, that sounds of weeping and cries of distress should become a thing of the past. It's a beautiful and compelling vision meant for all people, not just for us. And when we see the distance between what the world is like right now and what the world that we and God are longing for will be like, when we see that gap, we can't help but wonder, is there hope that this imagined reality, this dreamed of and longed for reality, when everything comes together as it's meant to, is there hope that it will ever come to pass? The answer and the truth is that this new earth, this transformed earth, glimpsed by God's prophets, is not only possible, it has already begun to exist. Paul's letter to the Colossians describes how this is so. Chapter 1, verse 13 and 14 states, God has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. God has already saved us from the mess we've made of creation and the mess we might have made of our lives. God is doing this through Jesus, who has brought God's kingdom into existence and is teaching us, showing us, making it possible for us to live in that kingdom. This is what verses 15 through 21 have to say about Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. Everything comes together in Jesus, who was before all things and encompasses all things and connects all things into the presence of God. Jesus, who was present when creation came into being, doesn't cease to love anyone, doesn't cease to love anything, even when those who would reject God do to him the worst that they know how to do. The same people, the same powers that crucified Jesus are still trying to reject God's grace and to grab the world for themselves. But the cross and the empty tomb demonstrate that they will never be successful. On the cross, Jesus did not retaliate evil for evil, thus proving that the kingdom of love and light already exists and is not corruptible. With the resurrection, Jesus conveyed to us that the kingdom, the renewed earth where we live in peace and unafraid, will never be destroyed. It may at times seem hidden or hard to find, but its power remains at work and can burst forth in unexpected ways and places. We can glimpse God's reality. We can live in and according to God's reality, even when the world around us tries to deny its existence. Realizing that it's not easy to live according to the vision and the values of God's kingdom, it's not easy even to keep faith in its continued existence when the world around us is so full of violence and cruelty, greed and dishonesty and disease, Paul wrote a prayer for his little community, which over time has become a prayer for us, for the church everywhere. And the prayer says, "May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from God's glorious power. May you be prepared to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light." Everything has already come together in Jesus for our salvation and for the world's salvation. Paul prays that God will give us the strength to live in that fullness of life and love and health, even when we can't see it or we can't sense it. One of the wonderful things about the way God's kingdom works is that we can become instruments of God's graciousness and healing power. Instruments used by God, sometimes knowingly, sometimes unknowingly, as God works to make clear how all things come together in Christ. Last weekend, we hosted a showing of a film called Anyone and Everyone. It's about the journey from shock to understanding made by some parents of gay or lesbian sons and daughters. 2 days after we showed this film, we received an email from someone who was present at that movie and discussion, a mother who has been so disillusioned by her pastor's harsh response to her questions and her struggles that she's quit going to church. "Now that I've met your church, I feel more hopeful," she wrote. "I had kept my faith in God. Maybe I don't have to lose faith in the church either." It's a slow process toward a transformed faith, but the pieces will come together for this family as they search for God's word in the midst of their new knowledge and their unfolding experiences. On Tuesday of this past week, I got a voicemail. This does not relate to the movie. This is a completely different message. Came on the phone answering machine. It was from a woman who wanted to set up some pre-marriage counseling. She and her fiancé are getting married in another state in December, and they needed to meet with a pastor who could assure the person who will be conducting the ceremony that this is a couple that's ready to go forward with this lifetime commitment. So I was getting all set to explain that my schedule was full and refer them to the New Life Counseling Center when I heard how dramatically their well-laid plans seemed to be falling apart. They had only just found out about this counseling requirement, and the woman was frantically packing all of her belongings for an immediate move to the Bay Area. A teaching job had just come through, and she has to be there tomorrow to start work on Monday morning. Her fiancé, meanwhile, intends to keep his job here in San Diego, keep working, stay here until the wedding. In other words, this was their last 4 days together until they were going to be married. They didn't know what to do to salvage the plans for their ceremony, which essentially hinged on them getting some pre-marriage counseling immediately. I think that they called me because they found PBUMC on the web, and they recognized it as a place that was just 2 blocks away from where they live. "Okay," I heard myself saying, "if you can be here at 2 o'clock today, we'll spend an hour together. Spell your names for me so that I can have a letter ready for this pastor who is performing your ceremony." "Oh, you're saving us," they exclaimed when they arrived at 2 o'clock on the dot. But I knew better. It wasn't me who was making things fall back into place. It wasn't me who was saving them. It was God. God who made my mouth say yes when I meant to say no. God who guided them to follow the advice of the groom's mother, a United Methodist deaconess originally from the Philippines, when she said, "Look for a United Methodist church. They will help you." Every week, every month, and every year, we experience examples, both big and small, of how God brings everything together in a way that is helpful and healing and indicative of the promise of the world that God is creating. Each Sunday, the greeters welcome us, the ushers help us to find our place, the technician turns on the sound, the acolyte brings in that tiny hopeful flame, the projectionist shows us words and images, the choir sings what they have diligently and joyfully rehearsed, and we are brought into God's presence in a way that nourishes and sustains us. Each first Tuesday, the Board of Trustees gather around the table over there on the lanai to report on doors refinished, sinks unplugged, rental management decisions that need to be made, projects that are awaiting approval. They interview our partners in the Wednesday night ministry. They interview the people who manage our money. They consult with the lawyers who are gracious enough to offer their advice. And the end result is the facility that you see around you, which is host to numerous worship and learning and service and fellowship opportunities. Each fall, the Stewardship and Finance Committee invites the members and the friends of the church to share information about their plans for giving financially to the ministry of the church in the year to come. Meanwhile, that same committee is consulting with all the other working groups in the church about how much money is going to be required to meet our ministry goals. And then the two parts of that planning process come together in a document called a budget. We look at that document and then we see whether we're ready to move ahead or whether we need to listen a little bit harder as a community or as individuals. Listen harder for what God has in mind for us. These examples are like the Thanksgiving meal that we served here at the church on Wednesday night, like the Thanksgiving meals that all of us enjoyed in our homes or with family and friends this past week. The planning, the inviting, the shopping, the table setting, the cooking, the carving, and the welcoming all come together in a feast that feeds our spirits and our bodies. God is at work through everything we do. When everything comes together for good, we know that we are truly blessed. Even when we're still waiting for everything to come together, we can be certain that God has not and will not abandon us. Gracious God, you gather up the scattered parts of our lives and bring them together according to your purposes. Thank you for being at work in our midst. Thank you for the vision you have shared with us of a world at peace, in which every person has shelter and food and good work to do. Thank you for the assurance that in Christ Jesus, your kingdom is at hand. May he reign forever in the fullness of your love and mercy. We pray together now as he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.